Skiddaway Island, location 25 miles east of English-Scottish border, population 4,384, 92% original islanders, 8% expatriates and refugees.
Before.
Bring your torch. It's a dirty night.
It was advice given to Howie Dearlove in the last 18 minutes of his life. He would come to regret having taken. The human mind holds fast to its surroundings when death is near, clings to quick snatches of experience as a drowning man clings to wood. The wind whipping about him, rain sheeting across the tarmac and cutting into his skin. The father holding his dead baby son hard against his cheek. The half-naked blonde woman screaming at the moon. The boy spitting at his feet with a look in his eyes that meant more than murder. The tangled chaos of these moments raced and repeated across Howie Dearlove's brain as if played and replayed at double speed.
I'll bring my torch. Mind if I use it to smash your clumsy face in?
He'd been frantically copying numbers from a spreadsheet on the company's computer onto the underside of a beer mat, his markings barely holding shape. The ink spreading like oil through the mat's rough, fibrous underside when fellow company security guard Alan Watson snatched back the cloudy, wet tarpaulin that separated the loading bay office from the outside world to peer in at him with a shady stare. 5 minutes on and they were battling the wind. Company-issued oilskins clutched tightly under their chins, trudging their way, torches in hand, across the loading bay's bumpy black top, towards the spot where the three great lorries were sounding their reverse alarms and backing into place. The first lorry had opened with a typical routine, revealing nothing but a dense rectangle of black to face them in the night. Watson lifted the same industrial hook he had used to heave open the lorry's sliding back doors and bashed it against the inner walls. The cargo emerged cautiously from between the crates, as if the reverberating clang of the hook's metal was some impossible-to-ignore dinner bell. They revealed themselves in the murky night and clambered down on weakened legs, falling into the arms of relatives in the waiting crowd, where they would be gathered up like luggage, carried to cars to cross the final leg of their hellish journey into a stranger's cruel world. The opening of the second lorry carried with it a sense of the horror that was to come. The cargo poured from it as soon as the doors were released, like an unstoppable wall of water, wailing, sobbing, vomiting violently and collapsing as the damp air hit their parched throats.
You people look alive in there.
It was Watson bashing that obscene metal hook against the third lorry's dense walls. But the only answer returned to him from its abyss-like black mouth was silence.
Move.
Howie willed them in the quiet of his mind.
Move.
With a strengthless arm, he lifted his torch to the side of Watson's head and saw, carved into the inner metal door, a succession of claw marks and pummeled fist indentations as dreadful and inevitable as the scratched walls of Auschwitz. The realization burst open in Howie's heart like a bloom of black roses. Watson was first to react. Doubling over, reeling against the thick, gassy, gagging smell of high-speed decay with a revolted groan.
Oh, my fucking Christ!
It was enough to sweep panic through the crowd like a fever. They had been waiting as patiently as relatives at an airport arrivals lounge. Now they surged forwards in a stampeding mass to peer in at the carnage of fathers, sons, daughters, wives, brothers, friends, all of whom had met a wretched, suffocating end. They lay together, a tangled mass of cadavers. Amid the twist of black shadows, arms emerged, frozen by death's permanence, still clawing for escape or clutching at ruined throats, nails digging savagely into their own skin or that of others. Blind, dead eyes bulged madly. Pale skin repainted crimson by the network of blood vessels, distended and erupted under its surface.
Dear love!
Over the roar of bedlam, Howie could faintly hear his co-worker screaming his name. As if he could do anything more than join at his side and await the same abysmal fate. Fate in the shape of the once calm crowd rapidly turning to a lynching mob, closing in on the two beleaguered men, their company-issued uniforms, their places within the organization, their mere presence there that night, making them instantly guilty, responsible, receptacles for the swelling tide of hate. Howie shut his eyes hard and turned away as they closed in, pressing one side of his face deeply into the lorry's cold metal door. A man groping back for his god. Lightning split the sky to glass, and the storm crashed through the night ceiling, exploding above them like a bomb, hurling rain and thunder down into the hate-torn crowd below. The crowd below, where the final shards of sanity also split, and one man rained murder down upon another.
I'm sorry, Luke.
He slipped away.